Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at Four. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Hey, George, you guys reportedly dipped your toe in the pool for Matthew Stafford, so logically you'd be interested in Deshaun Watson. I'm curious how aggressive you would make a bid for him, and if you've already discussed that behind the scenes in terms of what you would do.
Yes, I mean, I can't discuss other players that are under contract. I appreciate the question, but, you know, I've said before, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to be in every deal. You know, and it doesn't mean we're going to make that deal, but we're going to look into everything, whether it's a quarterback, whether it's a defensive lineman, you know, anything to help our football team, we're going to pursue.
Coach, you've spoken in the past about how important competition is to raise the level of play. I'm curious what your strategy is this coming year to raise the level of competition in the quarterback room.
Well, obviously, we're always looking to bring in players at all positions that can raise the level of competition. And, you know, the quarterback is no different in that regard. Until Drew proves to be the next great quarterback, you know, the ones that the Denver franchise has been used to in years past, or certain teams around the league, you guys know where they are used to. We're going to always try and bring in competition. But I have confidence that Drew can continue to improve.
Tyler, read between the lines.
Oh, until we get, I shouldn't have said that. Pause, reload. Until Drew Lock, gets a little bit better and becomes that guy. Ay, ay, ay. Ay, ay, ay. He just told you we're trying to go out and get his replacement. He literally just told you.
That's it, huh?
Oh.
Here's more from Fangio. What's your outlook on Lock?
I'm confident that Drew's going to continue to improve. Drew's had a great offseason up to this point. You know, there's not a lot you can do, but he's working hard on his own. You know, coming over here and getting workouts, and I know he's doing a lot at home on by himself, you know, watching video by himself. He's got a good setup over there, and he's doing anything and everything he can to improve, even as in February and now in March. And I feel like he'll continue to improve.
Okay.
I just love when you get the compliment about the offseason that hasn't even begun yet. He's having a great offseason. He's really attacking things at home. You know, when we don't do anything, when nobody's here, but he's having a fantastic offseason, so I'm sure things are going to be better.
Coach, what do you think of the free agent quarterback rumors?
As it relates to the quarterback carousel that everybody's talking about going around the league, we'll see how it turns out. You know, there's right now it's just a lot of rumors and innuendos and everybody proposing this and that. You know, I really don't know what's going to happen with some of the names that are being bandied about out there.
Yeah, because I don't think Vic Fangio is going to have a say in any of them.
It's just amazing to me to even hear, like, why even acknowledge that? Why even talk about all the quarterback moves? Why even acknowledge that that's potentially an issue on your football team?
I don't think they're being polite.
Sure, they're being polite, but there's many ways to shut a conversation down, and talking about those things is not shutting it down.
Yeah, I think it literally is just too obvious. I mean, you would kind of sound foolish just to say nothing.
You know, I heard a few people today talking about how they heard the organization, they were so supportive of Drew Lock today. And I'm like, really? Really? That was supportive? I mean, if that's supportive, I'd hate to hear what it sounds like when you're not. When you're publicly talking about chasing other quarterbacks, saying you're going to be in on every deal, when you say until Drew Lock gets a little bit better, that's supportive?
And, you know, the quarterback is no different in that regard.
And yes, it is. Pause.
You know, until we get.
Yes, it is. Quarterback is way different in that regard.
Way different.
Way, way, right. Way entirely different in that regard.
You always know when there's a problem with your quarterback when people compare the quarterback to, like, other positions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that, so wait a second.
We bring in competition for our right guard. Obviously, we're going to bring in competition for our quarterback.
Sure, sure. So quarterback is the same as the right guard, the safety, the linebacker.
You know, like the leader of our team, the person that everybody inherently just follows immediately because they're our quarterback. We're trying to bring in competition for that guy, just like we do for our nose tackle.
That's like the Mike Evans school of everybody's the same. Like, there's only one. And then, you know, but there's like 10 offensive linemen. But there's only one. Anyways, this is the big pause. This is the funny part.
Until Drew proves to be the next.
Yeah, there you go.
Whoops.
Until we get. Oh, no. Oh, no.
What did I do? What did I say? I did not mean it that way. How do I bounce back?
Until Drew.
1.6 second pause here. Let me recover.
Until Drew proves that he's. I don't know.
I don't think I even recovered, guys. I'm going to be honest. I didn't recover at all.
Listen, we know what the deal is. It's all right. It's all good. And you're right. Hey, there is a significant chance that Drew Lock is your starting quarterback in the fall.
Sure. I mean, sure.
It's easy to walk down that road and see how that could happen.
No, it's more likely that he's your quarterback than anything else, for sure. And it might even be as high as 70, maybe more than that percent. To go out and get to get competitions easy. You can go out and you can sign Andy Dalton. You can sign Jacoby Brissett, get Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's no problem at all. You can go get competition, but right. To actually get his replacement, that's difficult, man. I mean, you're going to have to give up the world to go get Deshaun Watson and everybody's going to try to get him. You want to move up to number two to go get Zach Wilson like I want to. He's number one on my board.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You're going to have to give up a lot to go get that done as well. It's not easy to get a replacement. So in all likelihood, we probably are looking at a journeyman quarterback that's brought in to be competition for Drew Lock.
Right.
So they can't just outright say that we're looking to replace him. They've got to do their best to try to build him up at the same time.
By the way, in my opinion, other shows here on the station that are looking for mentors for Drew Lock, I think you're really missing out on what's going on. I don't think the coaching staff is even going to, in terms of veterans, look for competition for Drew Lock. I think you're giving Drew Lock too much credit on that. I think what they're going to look for as a veteran quarterback is somebody, Pat Shurmur specifically, because he's in charge right now. We're talking vet quarterbacks, not drafted quarterbacks. I think it's going to be somebody that Pat Shurmur can trust. And I don't think Drew Lock's going to be any sort of consideration. I do think it is kind of a last chance you type of situation. So what are those quarterbacks that are out there that you think Pat Shurmur trusts the most?
Yeah, I'm totally with you 100%. Whoever you go after this offseason, it's not to build Drew Lock up. That's not what it's for. It's to bring in the best competition you possibly can. And if they don't replace Drew Lock this offseason, unless Drew goes out and balls out, which he can, and I hope that he does.
Yeah.
Well, then they're all likelihood they're going to find his replacement next year. So it's not about mentorship. It's not about growing. It's none of that.
But not only are they going to find his replacement, they're going to be out of work.
Sure, sure. But you know what? For Drew Lock, honestly, like I said, I think in all likelihood, it's more than likely going to be a journeyman veteran that they bring in. And Drew Lock should be looking at it like it's last chance to you also, and he should be drooling at that opportunity.
Yep, you're
bringing in Andy Dalton? Let's go. I got this. You bring in Jacoby Brissett? I got it. Yep. No problem.
Yep. In terms of Von Miller, Justin Simmons, Philip Lindsay, everybody else, we'll get to those answers next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Sunshine we have in Colorado. The NFL machine, Tyler, doesn't stop. So the coaches and GMs are talking to everybody locally around the country. That's obviously where the dreaded vote of confidence is coming from, a variety of GMs towards their soon-to-be-replaced quarterbacks. But there's other issues with the Broncos. And when Vic Fangio and George Payton spoke today, let's get to some of that stuff. Von Miller, George Payton, especially about the legal side of things.
Yeah, and, you know, we're still working through it with Von and his agent, and in regards to the legal process, we're just going to let the legal process play out before, but obviously it's a serious situation, but we want to let it play out before we comment on that.
Okay, before we comment on it, not before we do something. But before we comment.
Well, the legal aspect is what it is. And, for sure, that's a huge storyline. But actually, I caught something before that that was more interesting to me.
Okay.
They're talking to Vaughn and his agent right now. He just said, we're working through things with Vaughn and his agent. So we'll see where things go. So that tells me that they are definitely talking either a discount or a restructure or an extension, excuse me. I'm not sure which one it is, but it would appear that they are definitely having conversations.
Hey, I got one for you. Shot or not?
Okay.
Mike Kliss on Twitter.
Oh.
An observation from George Payton Presser. He mentioned three agents by name. That's three more agents than John Elway mentioned in 10 years of GM pressers. Shot or not?
Shot.
Little bit, huh?
I don't.
By the way,
I don't really get it. I mean, what's the shot about?
I don't know. That's why I asked you.
Sure, there was definitely a shot about something.
Feels like it. I'm not exactly sure what the shot is, but it feels like a little bit of a shot.
Right.
Did you catch the moment where George Payton said, "How do I get along with Vic?" Great. In fact, last night I was here at 8:45, and there was Vic. Watching film.
He's keeping tabs on him, seeing how long he's going to be in the building. Is this guy a grinder or not?
Now we know George Payton showed up for work around 4:50 a.m.
Right.
That's been documented.
Right.
And there he is at 8:45 at night.
That's about what I would expect, man. I mean, that's the way the NFL works, even in the offseason.
Why his kids learned
that. Which is why I have turned down three NFL jobs.
Right. If you're still here at this radio station at 8:45, right. Your car's broken. more about George Payton and the desire to have Vaughn back.
No, we want to bring Vaughn back, and we're still working through that. And I don't want to get into, everything, but we want to bring him back. And obviously the legal process, what he's going through, it's a serious, situation, obviously. And I don't know all the details, but we respect what's going on. But, we do want Vaughn back.
But I believe that.
I do too, but under what circumstances?
Yeah, that's the real question. I don't think that they wanted to do a J.J. Watt type of deal initially, but it changes things. Initially, I'm sure that they would have just preferred to be able to go to Vaughn and say, hey, I want you to play for $12 million and play out with the final year. But now it's complicated. So if they want Vaughn back, the most likely way to get Vaughn back is by giving him an extension.
Well, if they want Vaughn back, then by March 16th, giving them $7 million is no big deal. They want him back, they'll make that happen.
It's still a big deal, because if you do that, then you're bringing him back just to play one more year on his current deal. Once you pay him that $7 million, it's hard to even talk restructure, because Vaughn wouldn't want a restructure. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't even want an extension at that point, because he could just hit free agency at the end of the year, and he just got himself $18 million, right?
Yeah,
so
that's true.
It's still a big deal, for sure. I mean, I think you have to try to figure things out before you pay out that $7 million.
All right, let me skip ahead here to Juwan James. And more or less he said the same thing about Justin Simmons, like, we want Justin back. I mean, that there was no real big news there. But let me get to Juwan James, and here's what he said about speaking to Juwan James.
Yes, I've had a good discussion with Juwan and his agent, Bill Johnson, and he's ready to go. You know, he said he missed football, and he's looking forward to getting here and working and being with his teammates, and I'm looking forward to meeting him and seeing him play next year.
Okay, there's that. And here's Fangio about Juwan James.
Yeah, I've talked to him a couple of times, and he definitely is planning on coming back and being part of the team moving forward. He's down south right now training. I'm expecting him back here, you know, mid to late March for him to start training here with us, you know, using our facilities. And then obviously if OTAs come about, partaking in those. But we're counting and anticipating on him being part of our team next year.
What do you think?
Wasn't a whole lot there, honestly. You know, the reality is the Broncos really need Juwan James to be their right tackle. They do. They're paying him a ridiculous amount of money, and he's a talented player. If he plays football for you, he's probably going to help out your team. So I'm sure they're motivated to try to make it work. I think at the back of their minds, they've got to be planning for his replacement. And you could hear a little seed of hesitation in both of them, I believe. If you listen to George Payton there, he said that, well, Juwan said that he missed football, right? Okay, well, to me, there's a little seed of doubt in there. Did he really miss football or not? I think that they're going to do everything in their power to try to make it work. I'm probably going to be wrong on what I would do. And I said that I would release him. I would move on from him because you want to reset the culture of this football team. I doubt if they do that because there's so much money on the line.
The most important part of what was talked about today, I'll kill you with truth with it next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and T-Mac.
I'm just an old truth teller.
It's time for T-Mac to kill you with truth.
I want the truth.
Tell the truth.
And the truth shall set you free.
Here on The Drive.
Listen, we're all obsessed with the quarterback conversation. And as we heard with Vic Fangio, Drew Lock has not done enough to establish himself as the quarterback all the fans want. What he was really saying is, we like Drew Lock, but we're not quite ready to make him the lead singer of the band.
Oh, so I know what you're doing here.
When I hear lead singer of the band, I think of the conversation from this morning.
If the band can't keep time, doesn't matter how good the lead singer is. But you still need an amazing lead singer to have a chance to be an all-time R&B or rock group or whatever the heck it is.
Right.
The lead singer is the most important piece, but they can't shine without all the other pieces. So you need to do whatever you can to find an amazing lead singer. At the same time, if you're Mr. Manager or Mr. GM or Mr. Owner, you've got to build the rest of the organization at the same time.
Fine. You're absolutely right. But it is foolhardy to think that I can take the Rolling Stones and there are 5 or 6 potential Mick Jaggers out there. I just have to pick one. And they'll all deliver like Mick Jagger. No, they won't. There's one Mick Jagger.
I'm not saying that they will.
So if you are looking for the lead front man for the Rolling Stones and you are convinced you've got Mick Jagger, right, go get him. But if you're like, oh, I really like Mick Jagger, but I'm not going to get him. He's going to go sing for another band, so I'm going to take Milli Vanilli to front the Rolling Stones. You get my point? You can't treat them all as equal.
And this is where Mike just loses it. First of all, there were two guys in Milli Vanilli. It wasn't Milli and Vanilli. But where he really loses it is he's looking for Mick Jagger. There's only one Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger is Peyton Manning. There's not going to be another one like him. But that's where Mike's head is at. That it's got to be Mick Jagger. No, Mike, that's not how it works. You can sell out Fiddlers or even Empower Field with a lot of different bands. Van Halen was more popular when Sammy Hagar was the lead singer. They did all right. They did replace the lead singer. You can do it. And one of the most absurd examples of all time was Journey.
Don't stop.
They replaced Steve Perry with a guy from the Philippines who was singing karaoke. And they have toured for 20 years with a guy from YouTube. Are they not successful? Now, they're not the Rolling Stones, but nobody's the Rolling Stones. But yes, Mike, you can go out and find great replacements. They're out there, and sometimes there can be more than one, even when you have to sound like this, which is ridiculous. Who can actually sound like this? Well, apparently, a short guy from the Philippines. And when we're looking for quarterbacks, it's not some crazy let's throw a dart thing. You do the best that you can to improve yourself as often as possible. And no, Mike, you don't just sit there and think, oh, I can't get Mick Jagger, so I won't do anything. You can sell out Fiddlers with a karaoke guy from the Philippines with Journey just fine, and that's the truth.
You know what's so funny? I heard that conversation this morning. I immediately thought of Journey, as did you. And here's the best part of it, is that when I sit in this chair, I just see you two bicker all day long. And sometimes I call out Mike. Sometimes I'm in your foxhole. Sometimes I call you out. And you're sitting here, you're calling out Mike. And guess what I'm about to do? Do you know what you just did? You just said build the roster and bring in a khaki pants guy and it'll work. That's what you just said, and you don't even know it.
You did not say it.
But you just said it.
You just said it.
Yes, you did. You just said, if you build the right band, if you bring in the right pieces, you can go out to the Philippines and bring in some short guy that was singing karaoke, and you can sell out Red Rocks. You literally just argued for his argument.
Hold on a second. Wait a second.
Oh, man. You don't even know it.
Let me rewind. Yeah, try to
build
bring
the
in...
band, go to the Philippines, hire anybody, and you'll sell out Red Rocks.
You tried to replace Steve Perry, but you couldn't. But that doesn't mean you still can't have Journey. You know, now I'm lost a little bit.
Oh, man. You didn't even know it, did you? You're 12 feet deep right now. Find a ladder. Get out.
I can't. I'm too short. I can't reach the bottom lung. I'm flustered. Wow.
You didn't see that one coming, did you?
Listen, I think my point was right. But maybe I got a little twisted. Who knows? But all I was trying to say was Mike is looking for Mick Jagger constantly.
Right.
And all I'm doing...
But you can replace Mick Jagger.
...is trying
anybody.
To rock out because Journey rules!
A singer in a smoky room.
Really, seriously, could you believe...
I smell of wine and cheese.
They found a guy who sounds just like...
In the fourth round!
Steve Perry.
Found him in the fourth round.
He's probably undrafted.
Oh, my God.
All right, we'll be back.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
You got to catch me up a little bit here. We're going to have Troy Rank on in a second. We'll get back to the Broncos pressers and Mike and Chad. How about Chad Brown? Chad Brown on with Mike Evans, doing a great job.
Way better job than you just did.
Well, I'm not on with Mike Evans. This Baker Mayfield UFO stuff.
Right.
So help me out here. He's with his wife. They see something. He thinks it's a UFO, and he writes about it on Twitter that it's a UFO.
Correct. Yes. He put on Twitter that him and his wife saw a UFO come shooting out of the sky, went directly down towards some lake, and asked if anybody else saw it.
Now, I've not heard this, but our own soon-to-be skydiving, Orlando Franklin, I think that's happening this weekend, I believe. Orlando believes in UFOs?
I don't know.
Well, let's listen.
My question to you is, do you want your quarterback publicly acknowledging that he's seen a UFO?
Yeah, if you saw it, you saw it. Sandy,
nobody else saw it.
Hey, nobody else saw it. But there's been so many other reports of people seeing UFOs.
So you're a UFO guy, and you would not think your quarterback less than serious if he claimed to see one.
I'm looking at other people that have claimed. I'm looking at scientists talking about it. So if my quarterback's
saying it now...
Not last night, but I'm looking just at the history, Sandy. People claiming that they've seen UFOs. I've heard it so many different times. I don't know what to believe. Yeah, I just know that as we live on Earth, our technology becomes to get better and better and better each and every year.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
Here, fade the music down for a second.
I know we just released all the classifieds, man. We've got documents out there. Who knows?
What the hell scientist is Orlando talking about? He just said he knows of scientists that believe in seeing UFOs. Who's he talking about?
Well, what was that series I just watched? I just watched the whole UFO Discovery series. I forget what it was. It was great, though. It was a fantastic show. Just don't remember the name. Yeah. The military just released all their documents. I'm just saying, you know.
It's science.
I'm not a UFO guy. Hey, but for the record, Colin Cowherd apparently went off on Baker Mayfield as well today.
Okay.
And Sandy was going off on him as well, saying, I don't want my quarterback talking about seeing UFOs. Do you know that Baker Mayfield is not the only starting quarterback in the NFL to claim to have seen a UFO?
Who else played quarterback with Orlando Franklin? Who else?
The current MVP of the National Football League has claimed to have seen a UFO.
Aaron Rodgers.
He said, yes, Aaron Rodgers. Here it was. Now, what was the date of this? This was 2016. Aaron Rodgers shares wild tale of UFO sighting.
Oh, my God.
He said he was with Steve Levy, his college friend, or his college teammate,
okay,
and a couple other friends. They saw a large orange left-to-right moving object, and because of the overcast nature of the night and the snow, you couldn't make it out. It was behind the clouds we were seeing, but it was definitely large, moving from left to right. It was me, Steve, and his brother that saw it, and he goes out of sight, and we look at each other and go, what the blank was that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Relax.
Baker Mayfield's in good company.
Here is old man Cowherd about Baker Mayfield.
I would prefer, of all the qualities of franchise quarterbacks, I want to know your arm. Are you good pre-snap? Are you mobile? The ability to see UFOs in the offseason is nowhere near my not top 10 qualifications. Joe Montana, Troy Aikman, Terry Bradshaw, Tom Brady have never seen aliens.
But Aaron Rodgers
has. I would prefer my guys don't talk about it. But in fairness, Aaron Rodgers also admits he's seen a UFO and he did win a Super Bowl.
I had not heard that audio. That's funny.
I guess I kind of agree with Colin Cowherd on this one.
Oh, here we go. You've been crushing Colin.
I have. Hold on. This is a boomer take that I don't believe in UFOs? Seriously.
Well, the United States military does.
Orlando, you can't come on the air and say you've heard of a scientist say there are UFOs and not name who that scientist was. My man. And just say you've heard so many different things you don't know what to believe.
I don't have a great take on this one other than it's funny.
It is funny if Baker Mayfield was doing this as a goof. If he's doing this as a goof, it is
funny. It was not a goof. Not a goof. Either was Aaron Rodgers.
I really don't. I don't think this stops you from winning a Super Bowl.
Well, probably guarantees you win an MVP.
Maybe. It just means you are... I'm not trying to rip necessarily. I guess I am trying to rip on people who believe in UFOs. If you really want to advocate that there are UFOs out there and you just saw one, or that you believe in their existence, then you got a distorted viewpoint of reality.
Wow.
Yeah. No, not wow. Duh. Like, yeah. There literally is...
It doesn't mean it has to be an alien to see a UFO. Doesn't mean it has to be alien life form.
What wormhole are you going down?
I'm just... Wait, have you not seen all these, what the U.S. military has put out?
Give it to me, dude. Go ahead.
Just go down the wormhole. Joe Rogan, listen to his podcast. No, it's crazy.
You got that.
I'm not even a believer. I'm a believer.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm a believer in the good Lord, but I'm not a believer in that.
No doubt, boomer. It's a boomer take. To not believe in UFOs and think it's strange that people do is a boomer take.
All right, let's go to Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, who joins us.
Courtesy of ROX, Rock's Heating and Air.
Troy, do you believe in the possibilities of UFOs?
I'm not a UFO guy. I'm not going to say that they don't exist. I just don't.
All right, stop. I am going to say on this radio station, they do not exist. I am brave and bold enough to say UFOs in our lifetime do not exist. I don't know what happened billions of years before. I don't know what's going to happen billions of years later. But here in our lifetime, there are no such things as UFOs. We just landed.
That's not true.
We just landed a contraption on Mars. So I'm not saying that it's not possible to put things on other planets. But in our lifetimes, there are no UFOs. I'm sorry, Troy. What'd you say?
What's up? What's up, dude?
Hey. Sounds good, man. I'm not about to argue. I'm not a science fiction guy, so Tyler can take that. He can take that argument. I'm out on that one.
I'm not arguing for UFOs. I'm not arguing.
You're out on that one. You simply can't say, yeah, D-Mac, you're right. You got to say you're out on it. You don't want to like just kind of agree with me there.
Why is the United States military D-Mac, got all these documents? D-Mac, can you prove they don't
lose
exist?
Like. We've seen D-Mac lose like 100 pounds, so like anything's possible at this point.
I love it, Troy.
Wow, Troy. Wow.
I'm going to be honest, Troy's done it about 5 times.
Troy, well, that's true. Troy has just compared my weight loss to the improbability of UFOs existing. All right, and on that note, what were your big takeaways from George Payton and Vic Fangio today?
It was mainly about George Payton, really, and... The interesting thing about Von Miller is the fact that he said he wants Von back, which I expected him to say. And if they didn't, they could have cut him by now because they basically said, they did a solid to A.J. Boye and Jarrell Casey because they weren't coming back and they wanted to let them get on the market before free agency hit. So clearly they want Von back. It's under what conditions? Because if they wanted him back, they control that. They could just pick up the option and say you're back. So clearly they're trying to work through some stuff. And if that involves a pay cut, what will Von say? Will he see J.J. Watt as the floor or the ceiling in possible free agency? Will he just say, I want to take a bite in free agency. I've never done it. So that's interesting to me. The other takeaways, obviously, are that, they have a wandering eye at quarterback. Tyler's talked about this a lot. You guys talk about it. They're impressed with Drew Lock's offseason. He stayed in town. I talked to Dalton Reisner about this. And Drew's had a great offseason, working out 5 days a week. 4 days at the facility, one day at Lando's place. But the reality is he has been inconsistent, so they're not ruling anything out at quarterback. But George Payton is checking all the boxes. Nothing's going to get beyond him. But the Von Miller one was interesting to me because of the fact if they wanted him back, they could have done it already. And so they clearly want him back, but they want him back on their terms. Otherwise, this would be over.
Yeah, it is interesting. They did acknowledge that they've been having conversations with him and his agent at this point. So I'm a little bit surprised to hear that we have not really heard anything about those negotiations at this point. I mean, have you heard any specifics of what they've actually talked about?
No, and I'm not surprised at that based on my knowledge of George Payton and how he does his business. He does his business in the shadows. He's had a great relationship with agents through the years. He protects their privacy, so... I'm not surprised. I mean, it's not going to say there's going to be there'll be leaks at times. But it's just different with him and the way he deals with agents. Remember, he was an assistant GM for 12 years. So that's the one thing about Payton. His phone never stops buzzing. He knows everybody in the league. That's why when he says we're going to be involved in trade talks, because he can pick up the phone and call some. He knows everybody from every team, and I love that about him, that he can be nimble because of relationships he's built up over more than a decade as an assistant GM. But now I have not heard, but it obviously would involve anything to do with the money. So either you ask Vaughn to take a pay cut or you restructure it to give him money differently to take get less of a hit this year. The problem with saying a straight pay cut to Vaughn, and I'm taking Vaughn's side here, is they don't need the cap room. They're at $44 million right now. They don't net, I mean, I'm not saying they couldn't use it, but they're not sitting there right up against the cap saying, man, you got to do us a favor here. They're not. So I could see Vaughn just saying, I want to try free agency. I think I'm better than J.J. Watt, and I can get a couple million more than him. So that's where it gets complicated.
What is Von Miller's trade value at this point?
None, because, I mean, it would be like Jarrell Casey last year, where the teams would be sitting there knowing you're going to release him then. If you're asking, if you're going to trade him, unless a team could somehow say, we'll give you a fifth and be able to negotiate with Vaughn to keep him on our, you know, maybe a 2-year deal. It's just the circumstances. He clearly has value as a player still, but in a trade market, it just wouldn't materialize because teams would be calling the Broncos bluff. Why would we trade for someone we feel like you're going to release?
All right, what about, I'm going down the list here. Well, let me play some for you. Peyton's thoughts about Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, we're still working through the, you know, Philip. I think Philip's a good player, very passionate. Obviously had some injuries last year, but he's a good player. He brings energy. He brings juice. You know, he's a restricted free agent. We do plan on tendering him. You know, I'm not sure what level, but, you know, we want Philip here.
Okay. Read between those lines.
Yeah, I think they would like him here, but I think they're going to put an original round tender on him, and so there wouldn't be no draft pick compensation. That would allow Philip to explore free agency, see what's out there, and then if it's not, I'm not saying it's Shelby Harris, but if you go out there and he doesn't like what he sees, they bring him back. And it's not like they don't want him back, but again, some of these things are, we want you back on our terms. And in Philip's case, I mean, you guys know I love Philip Lindsay. I love everything about him, but they didn't like him last year in their offense because they didn't use him. They didn't think he could catch the ball, and he fell out of favor when they didn't feel like he could play on third down. So he didn't have a role in the offense when Melvin Gordon started running the ball well the last 8 games. So do they want him back? I have no doubt they would love to have him back. But again, I don't see him putting a second-round tender on Philip Lindsay. I see it being an original-round tender with the idea if another team comes in and makes him an offer that's better, then they'd lose him. That's what it's felt like the entire offseason with Lindsay. And I just want to see Philip get paid. So if that happens, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing for Philip.
Well, that's an awfully big insult to Phil. Honestly, if you're going to put an original-round tender on him at this point and allow any team to come get him, sign him for whatever you want, all they have to do is offer a deal that the Broncos don't want to match. When if you were to put a second-round tender on him, all you have to do is pay him an extra $1 million. The difference is 2.1 for an original round to 3.25 for a second round tender. I mean, wow, did we not learn our lesson with C.J. Anderson? We did the exact same thing with C.J., and then we ended up having to pay him because we didn't put a second rounder on him.
Yeah, they're not in that position with Philip because they have Gordon. And I just think, honestly, if they lost both of them, they would move on. There's going to be enough guys available in free agency that they probably feel like they could start their running back room over and cheaper. I mean, they overspent for Gordon. We all know that. And I thought Gordon played really well the last 8 games. But when you look at the industry, there's just no reason to pay a running back that kind of money. I mean, he'd have to be a superstar. And there's just so few of those that I wouldn't be surprised if they redo the running back room. I would think one of them will be back, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm shocked if they're not, if neither of them are back.
Troy, the Rockies did not lose today. And a barn burner with the Mariners, they tied them 9-9. Means they've played 2 consecutive spring training games in a row where they haven't lost.
Whoa.
Are you feeling this team?
Wow.
I'm not. Having covered those early spring training games, most of the guys that participate in those games do not ultimately make the 25-man roster.
What?
So, I mean, you're talking about guys that get one at bat. The guys who bat from the 6th inning on aren't on the team. So, and especially the pitchers you face. That's why you don't really look at spring training numbers until 2 weeks in, until the end, because that's when you face big league pitching on an everyday basis.
So E. Montero is not going to make the team? B. Severin? Maybe he might make the team. I'm rooting for Greg Bird, though, aren't you? You've got to be pulling for Greg Bird a little bit.
But yeah, of course. Colorado kid, that'd be fantastic.
By the way, this is great with spring training. So the Rockies are down 2 runs going into the top of the ninth, and they do tie the game. Seattle's the home
team.
Nobody
cares.
Nobody cares. So Colorado ties the game in the top of the ninth. Seattle, the game's tied. They don't play the bottom of the ninth.
Like I said, nobody cares.
I didn't know, Troy, they don't, like, finish innings. I know they sometimes cut games short, and I know games end in ties. I didn't know they just ended a half inning, and then they just go home.
That's new this year. Like, this year, they could get to a pitch count in an inning, like 25 pitches, and they just roll the inning over. They just stop, like,
wow,
a scrimmage.
Wow.
It's totally different this year.
Oh, that's
why, you know, again, in their defense, spring training is about getting work in. I could never tell you outside of one season, like what the Rockies record was in spring training, because Clint Hurdle made a big deal about it, how if they won the Cactus League title,
oh, really?
It would give him momentum. And I thought he was joking, so we got into this argument about it. And he was just trying to kind of like pump his team up. And I'm just like, this is cotton candy. This means absolutely nothing, what you do in spring training. And they went out that year, and they won 73 games like they did the year before, so there's no surprise.
But they won spring training.
Yes. I think you get a big cactus for that.
All right. I do have a little baseball, Colorado baseball nugget, kind of off the beaten path, but kind of a cool thing. So there was and do you remember that big, tall kid who came in here to kind of shadow us? And do you remember him, Brady?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
His name is Brady Lejeune.
Yeah, he's a Texas Tech, right? He pitched his butt off the other day.
Hold on. Yeah. He is a Texas Tech. He's a freshman. He set a new school record. He is the first pitcher ever in the history of Texas Tech in his debut to strike out the side in his first appearance.
Nice. Very cool.
How about that? That's kind of cool.
How do you pronounce his last name, D-Mac? Lejeune
Diakoudis. It's hyphenated.
Yeah.
Lejeune Diakoudis. And I know
his... Yeah, because of Trim. Taylor Otrimba's not there anymore. He transferred to Arizona.
Oh, he did? I didn't know that.
Yeah. He's at U of A now.
Creek kid.
Oh.
Right. Why did he transfer? Wasn't planned.
I don't know that. I just know he's at U of A now.
Okay. All right, little nuggets. Thank you, Troy. We'll talk to you later.
See you, buddy.
See ya. Got it.
All right, it's KKFN and KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.
You've spoken in the past about how important competition is to raise the level of play. I'm curious what your strategy is this coming year to raise the level of competition in the quarterback league.
Well, and obviously, we're always looking to bring in players at all positions that can raise the level of competition. And, you know, the quarterback is no different in that regard. Until we get... Or until Drew proves to be the next great quarterback, you know, the ones that the Denver franchise has been used to in years past, or certain teams around the league, you guys know where they are used to. We're going to always try and bring in competition. But I have confidence that Drew can continue to improve.
Why did Vic Fangio have a hard time just finishing that sentence smoothly?
Well, he got caught. He knew he got caught. He accidentally said that until we find our next great quarterback of the Denver Broncos. Shouldn't have said find. Let me pause, try to reset on that one. No way to recover. Can't find my way out of it. I guess I'll just try to say until Drew Locke becomes the next great quarterback of the Denver Broncos. You know, I'm not going to cross these guys on any of this stuff today. They didn't say anything that I didn't already know. I know for a fact that they are currently actively pursuing Drew Locke's replacement. It's not a secret. They are. That's what's happening. They are looking for a way to replace Drew Locke. Now, they also recognize that it's not easy. And Drew Locke, he very well could be the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos next year. So you can't go out of your way to let everybody know that you're trying to replace him. But they've done so. They've done so through their actions, and now they've done so through their words.
Here is George Payton, his thoughts about Drew Locke in the quarterback room. What to add to it?
Yeah, I mean, Drew, you know, obviously did a deep dive with Drew. And obviously, like I said in my press conference, very talented, you know, was inconsistent at times, has a lot to work on. But, you know, I've spoken with Drew. I see him every day. He's here early. He's working. You know, he really wants to be great. And, you know, we're always going to try to bring in competition at every position and quarterback, you know, as well. But I like the track that Drew's on.
What track is that?
Well, he's having a great offseason. He's got a good setup at home for watching film.
Okay.
I mean, I'm being serious. I think that that's what they're talking about. I think that they like his work ethic. They like the way that he's approaching the game. Yeah. They've got absolutely no issues with, you know, the way that he just handles himself in the building. And I'm really not saying that facetiously. That's a big part of being the quarterback. And I think that they appreciate that. He's trying his best to get better. But, you know, if you're just talking about the film, he's not talking about the film from last year. That's not what he's talking about.
George Payton about drafting a quarterback at 9.
Yeah, I mean, we're open to any position with that first pick. And we're going to take the best player that can help this football team. So quarterback, you know, safety, it doesn't matter what player, you know, what position. If it's the best player on the board, we're going to take him.
That cliche.
There was a lot of talk today that was comparing quarterbacks to every other position on the football team, which that might have been the main takeaway of the whole day, and it should tell you everything you need to know. Guess what? Quarterbacks are not the same as every other position.
They are.
And you don't talk about quarterbacks in the same way that you talk about every other position.
No, because there's a value difference between a quarterback and every other position.
Well, and on top of that, I mean, not only is that true, it is. But he is the inherent leader of your football team. So when you start questioning the inherent leader of your football team and when you start putting him on equal ground with the rest of your football team,
right.
Well, you are acknowledging for everybody, you don't even have to read between the lines. They're trying to find somebody that is a better leader, somebody that is a better football player.
Now, I'll give you this. Just because you're a quarterback doesn't mean your value is necessarily more than a left tackle or even a safety. Although you'd have to be pretty low to be the value of a safety if you're a quarterback. But that being said, I want to just go through a little exercise. And this is what Mike Evans gets so wrong so often, is that he never factors in the actual value of the position. Never talks about that. If you want to give a quarterback value next to what you said, the next most important position was left tackle or pass rusher. I don't know which one you want to pick there.
Yeah, I go quarterback, I go left tackle, then I go pass rusher,
okay,
and then
fine.
I go corner.
All right, so if the greatest quarterback, if Trevor Lawrence is a 100, because he's a slam dunk and he's a quarterback, so he has the highest possible value, okay?
Yep.
He's a 100. In your opinion, for the sake of argument, do you view a left tackle and pass rusher kind of the same value?
I think tackle is slightly higher.
Fine. If Trevor Lawrence is a 100 in terms of value, what value comparatively would you give to the top left tackle?
80.
80. Great. No problem. If Trevor Lawrence is a 100 in value, and your guy is Zach Wilson, what value level would you give to Zach Wilson?
I'm not sure I understand that question, actually, because wouldn't the value technically be the same? Because we're talking about the position, not the player.
I think your value decreases.
See, now you're talking about players, not the position.
Correct. But I did say Trevor Lawrence to take him as the absolute top. That's unquestioned. We have a good year to do this exercise because we actually do have one of these unicorns who's probably 100.
Right.
Slam dunk, the number one guy, ain't no doubt about it. This is a year where it's a Peyton Manning or even Joe Burrow last year. There's no doubt about it. That's the year we have with Trevor Lawrence. So he is 100.
Okay.
Left tackle's an 80. What would Zach Wilson be if he's your, you know, the second quarterback?
88.
Okay. And then you just go from there as far as in terms of what the value is. And then you'd go.
I mean, now you're comparing the player to the value of the position and you're coming up with a number that fits the two of them.
Right. So you just keep going whatever criteria you want to use. And if you seriously do sink below whatever value you can assign to whatever position player, then fine. Take the position player. Don't take the quarterback because the value and the quality of player just isn't of equal value.
But I'm telling
you. The only thing that I would argue on that one, though, D-Mac, is that the inherent value of the position is true no matter what. That stays static. It doesn't change.
Left tackle.
But what's dynamic with the value of a quarterback, let's just stay on the quarterback for a second.
Yeah.
The value of that is 100, right? But if you get it right, well, you get a 100, okay? But if you get that wrong, and let's say you got a guy that's a 30 out of 100.
Correct.
Well, all of a sudden the impact on your football team is still the value of 100, right? Like that's how much he can still impact your team in a negative light.
Correct. So, that's why it's a high risk, high reward.
But that's why I say it's not just as simple as the value of the position, because you got to make sure that you draft the right guy. Because if you draft the wrong guy, the impact that he will have to your team could be equally as negative as it could be positive.
All right, fine. But George Payton literally said, we're going to draft the top guy no matter what, no matter if it's quarterback or a safety. So if quarterback max is 100 and max for left tackle is 80, what do you think the value of the top safety would be? Comparative to the top quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Low.
Right. Like what? I mean, 50, 60, 40?
Sure. Throw a number out. I don't know.
I'll throw 50 out just for the sake of argument, right? So it's not all equal, because you can actually get a lot of quarterbacks that aren't the top, but they're better than the value of the safety.
But what you're missing out here is that if you get it wrong, if you get the wrong guy, they will impact your team that much more in a negative light than it will in a positive light. Whereas if you draft the best available player, let's say you drafted the best available pass rusher who is like a 75 in value, whatever,
and
you miss on that, well, the impact to your team is not nearly as significant. So I'm not in the business of just drafting a quarterback because of the value of the quarterback position. No, you got to get the right quarterback, because we know what happens when you get the wrong one.
Of course. But that, again, is why it's so critical. If you identify that you do need a quarterback, you have great personnel people, you know what you're doing, you get it, that you are the Chiefs or the Texans when they got Deshaun Watson. You're not the Bears when they took Mitchell Trubisky.
Sure. I mean, as long as you know that you've got a guy that you believe in, sure.
Yeah. And that's why they get paid. But to just say, oh, well, we'll just take the top player, to me is, I don't even think they mean it. I think that's a football cliche, and they really don't believe it. And because there's slotted salaries and things are just different now than they were years and years ago. Mike Evans is right about this. It kills him, but he's right about this. Because of the way things are, yeah, okay, the quarterbacks are overvalued. All right, fine. But you just can't wait, because as Chad Brown pointed out very skillfully, well, what's your plan? Like, what are you going to do? And Mike pointed out.
See, that's where I don't agree with you 100%, though. I am so much further, like, I'm so much closer to your overall belief in quarterbacks than I am with Mike. It's not even funny. Like, I'm way, way closer to you. But the way that you state that as if you just select somebody because you've got a need. No, if you get the wrong guy, it sets you back 5-10 years. So I would rather wait a year. I'd rather wait 2 years to draft the right guy than draft just anybody.
But how do you know you're going to find the right guy in a year or 2 years?
Well, I don't. But if I don't believe in the guys that are currently on the board, I'm not going to just take them just to take them.
Well, then my argument is, it's like I've said a million times, you can't. It's not up to you when you stink. You are where you are, so either you're going to kind of get lucky.
That's not
going
to help you. It's not going to help you to take a poor quarterback.
Yeah, but you know what? You'll stink again, and you'll be back in this position 2 years from now, and you just rinse and repeat.
Oh, man, when you miss on quarterback, it's so much more complicated than that. It sets you back.
Used to be.
No, it still is. It still is.
You just do the same thing.
You keep saying that, and I keep asking you to come up with examples, and there's only two of them. So stop saying that it's like a new trend. It's not.
In my opinion, in the future, that's exactly what you'll do. Because you simply won't be able to wait. Sure.
Well, then I guess technically Mike is right. You are in the business of just selecting anybody.
Not anybody, because I'm not advocating for Kyle Trask in this draft. I'm not saying he's one of the top guys. I never said Kyle Aletta, Mike White, or Mason Rudolph were the guys in 2018.
But what you're saying is, if you're in the top 10 and you need a quarterback, you select the best available quarterback, even if you don't think that he's better than your guy.
No. You would always have to think he's better than what you have. You would always do that. You only do what I'm talking about if you think you need a quarterback. If you don't think you need a quarterback, then you keep Sam Darnold. You keep Tua Tagovailoa. You keep him.
Right, but my point in this year's example, do we need a quarterback? Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Then draft one.
Well, hold on.
Move up to get one.
Hold on. Yes, I agree. I'm going to do everything I can to move up to go get Zach Wilson. But if Zach Wilson's not available and I can't get him, I'm not sure I would take anybody in this year's draft.
That's fine.
Now I might change my mind on that. And you know what? I'm really turning around on Mac Jones. There's a reason why that guy's rising. And I see it. And by no means am I hating on Mac Jones. So I might even get to the point where I say I would select him. But, I'm not there yet. So for me, I've got one guy right now. And if I don't get him, I'm riding with Drew Lock for another year.
You actually have two guys because you certainly would take Trevor Lawrence. So
Trevor Lawrence isn't realistic.
No kidding. But there's two guys. And logically, if there can be more than one, there can be two. And if there can be more than two,
Two doesn't mean that there is three. And just because there's three doesn't mean that there is four.
It doesn't mean there is, but there can be. That's the difference. Mike doesn't acknowledge there can be.
Sure.
He doesn't say that it's possible.
Right, but. Okay.
And then Chad got to this today.
What I'm interested in is find me an organization that knows what it's doing. Find me an organization that has a Mike Shanahan in it who recognizes Robert Griffin III at the number two overall pick isn't the guy. Kirk Cousins, the guy you take in the fourth round, is the guy that I see that I can develop and turn into a really good NFL quarterback. Give me a Gary Kubiak. That's what I want. Everyone, people ask me, what do you want when it comes to the quarterback?
You want the sleeper fourth-round pick.
I don't want dart throwing as my strategy. I want to have an organization that has smart people that know how to evaluate, know how to coach, know how to develop. And if you have those people in place, then you can find quarterbacks in many different ways.
You can't, though, Mike, logically, because that is dart throwing. Because even if you identify, hey, this guy's going to go late, we love him, he's going to be our guy, how in the world would you ever be able to predict he would be available in the fourth round? And because of the trend of quarterbacks and what's happening now, he definitely will not be available in the fourth round because years ago, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson were available, and teams aren't going to sit around and wait for that anymore. They're not gonna.
Well, that's where I'm with you, and for the majority, that's where I do land exactly on the exact same theory as you.
James Merrillat on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. What say you on this?
So the plan is you want to hire somebody that's smart enough to pass on a really good quarterback multiple times. That's Mike's idea.
Right.
I guess so.
That makes no sense to me.
Like, right.
I get it. You can stumble into one in the later rounds. Like, we can find the exceptions to the rule and, you know, pull out the Tom Brady's of the world. But no, that's not the path to finding one, especially in today's NFL. It's a first round pick, and it's a high first round pick. If you want to improve your chances, doesn't make it guaranteed, but man, it improves your chances exponentially.
We got a little gift today, getting some audio from Coach Fangio and George Payton. What was your main takeaway?
Well, the thing that kind of jumped out of me that I wrote about at DenverFan.com was when George Payton said, we're not going to go crazy in free agency. Now, I get it. He's not going to come out and say, we're going to go all in and, you know, it's a blank checkbook. I understand that. But he was definitely trying to temper expectations. And I think with A.J. Boye getting released, Jurrell Casey getting released, all of a sudden you look at it, and depending on the numbers and how they shake out, I mean, this team has got 40-plus million in cap space. Who knows what happens with Vaughn? Maybe Kareem's not back. I mean, they could have $80 million in cap space. Like, well, that's great if you do something with it, but it doesn't sound like they're planning on doing that. So that, to me, kind of feels like 2021 is almost, tanking is overly harsh in terms of the word, but I think George Payton's auditing this year, and they're going to go cheap. And they're going to try and make up for all that revenue they lost last year by not having fans in the stands. And if Vic Fangio can pull a rabbit out of his hat, great. If he can't, gives them an easy reason to move on. I just got the sense of 2021 is not in it to win it. It's in it to refill the coffers.
Here is what Payton said about that.
Yeah, we just never, you know, you never want to go crazy in free agency. You don't want to build your team in free agency. You know, you want to fill selective needs going into the draft. That's been my philosophy. So you don't always want to be the first one out of the gate and throw all your money. But if there's something unique, you'll take a shot. And so I just think you have to be selective. You have to look at every situation. But if you can fill a need and help your team, you're going to go for it.
So, James, you have Lavonte David, Bud Dupree, Leonard Floyd, Jayon Brown, and Melvin Ingram on your free agent fever board. Which one of those guys fits what George Payton just said?
Trying to find a need and saying, hey, let's fill this via free agency instead of the draft. To me, Lavonte David still makes the most sense. I don't know that you're going to take an inside linebacker at 9. I know the kid from Penn State that didn't play this year is high on everybody's list. Yeah, Parsons. But, like, man, at 9, that seems high. So I think if you're thinking corner or you're thinking quarterback at 9, you could fill the inside linebacker need, somebody to play alongside Alexander Johnson via free agency and upgrade significantly. I just think he's going to be someone that's going to command top dollar, especially after what we all watched in the Super Bowl and watched that defense shut down Kansas City. So I think they're shopping, you know, in tier two, tier three. That's the way I'm interpreting it.
Where are you at with Von Miller? I guess where do you think the team's at with him, and where are you personally? What would you do?
If it were me, I would try to restructure him, obviously. I think the guaranteed money that J.J. Watt got is really the key number, and I think you could spread that out over a couple of years, cut your cap number a bit. Vaughn gets a little bit more guaranteed than he's got this year if they pick up the option. So to me, that's a win-win. I would even maybe do 3 years because I think Vaughn's got something left in the tank. I think he was going to have a monster year if he hadn't hurt the ankle. And it was a fluke injury, last play of practice, the last practice before the opener, all that kind of stuff. So I would try to redo his deal, you know, give him some incentives that maybe in the second or third year he could get back to those bigger numbers. But I get the sense they're going to move on from him. I think that's going to be another one where they're going to say, look, this team last year, if you just do easy, you know, trying to make the math easy, 75,000 fans, if the average ticket price is $100 and it's 10 games, that's $75 million of revenue they didn't bring in. You know, by the time you throw in parking and concessions and things like that, it's probably $100 million. That's the money that you need to sign guys, because you got to write big checks for signing bonuses. That's the money you need when, you know, Von Miller's option comes up and you have to pay him $7 million. This team has always been kind of cash poor, and we've always heard those rumors. After a COVID year, I think they're really in that situation. So I think Von Miller would have been on the fence anyway in terms of whether he was back. Given the financial constraints, I just don't think he's coming back.
Yeah, if you have an audit year, why would you have Von? What's the point?
Right.
Why would you do it? In fact, I'm looking at the Bebop Big Board of Possibilities for the draft, and I don't know if you want to make a change, but you got Zach Wilson up there, which I love. I understand what you're talking about. But again, if you really believe it's an audit year, he doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think an audit year would actually be a good time to burn the season getting a rookie quarterback some experience, right? Because you don't care if you go 4-12.
But you'd have to give up some, you know, some capital to move up to get him.
Certainly. And if they let all these veterans go, I think that makes it less likely that they make any of those moves. Because, like, well, you got to restock the cupboard somehow. I think he makes the most sense. You know, when that board was originally put together, he was certainly not ahead of Trevor Lawrence on anybody's list. I don't know that he truly is now other than Chris Sims, but yeah, you've seen a little bit of it. I just think he's got the makings of a star. I think he's a guy that would be the quarterback here 10 to 15 years. When I watch him, and I know he's not as big, but maybe it's because of the level they played at. He reminds me a lot when I would watch Josh Allen and watch the throws he made up at Wyoming, and there'd just be one or two every time you know, turn on the YouTube or the tape or whatever you're watching, like, oh my gosh, that's an unbelievable play. Same kind of guy. He would be the one I'd roll the dice on, that's for sure.
Yeah, Zach Wilson's 6'3". I mean, it's no shrinking violet.
Yeah, he's not tiny. I guess just in terms of, like,
well, to Tyler, he's tiny.
Yeah. Like stature. He just doesn't seem like he's going to run guys over, but yeah, he's not tiny by any means.
James, you're second in command of Rocky's PR, only behind D-Mac.
Wow.
Which honestly is, that's an honor. You're number two. Yeah. You're not number one, but you're number two.
Wow.
So I would like to give you an opportunity, much like I gave D-Mac an opportunity, to go ahead and spin the latest story that, well, no pun intended, that the Rockies will not be extending or signing Trevor Story to another contract. How do you feel about that one?
I think once, you know, before the 2020 season, when Nolan Arenado, after, you know, three months of losing, he just couldn't deal with 3 months of losing there at the end of the 2019 season. When he took his ball and went home, that reset the franchise. Now all of a sudden it's, hey, we're gonna, you know, strip this thing down and try and rebuild it again. But there's no reason to give Trevor Story a big deal. None at all. Like, by the time this team actually, you know, brings in enough guys and develops enough guys to where they're competitive again, Trevor Story will be at the end of that deal. It doesn't make any sense. Another team, and nobody wants to hear these things, but that's another team where, do you think the Broncos were hurt by by COVID. I mean, the Rockies, that's the vast majority of their revenue is the gate. It's you know, it's tickets, it's parking, it's concessions. They lost all of that, still had to pay 60% of the salaries. So they really had a year that they were in the red. I expect owners to spend every dollar they can. I don't expect owners to operate at a loss. I think that's an unreasonable expectation. They're running a business. But Dick Montfort, 2020 was a bad, bad year. I think it's definitely, that's a team that they don't have the money. People don't want to hear it because it's, you know, it stinks as a fan, and I get it. I don't like hearing it either, but I can also accept the reality of it. But all of this ties back to Nolan Arenado deciding, hey, I want out of here.
Mm-hmm.
That sets them on a different course, and that course, it doesn't make any sense to have, you know, the best shortstop in baseball on that team. It's Todd and the Toddlers again at that
point.
Keep this up.
Keep going. You might get that number one spot after all. Congratulations.
See what I have to deal with, James.
My biggest... No, you're good.
You did it. It was a good job. It was a good job.
It doesn't mean I'm a defender. Uh-huh. Like, Jeff Breidich has to go. He does, and D-Mac and I probably disagree on that, but, like, I'm not defending everything they do.
Oh, my God. It's just like both of you piling on. I have said repeatedly, hire a president of baseball.
Right, but you've never said to fire Jeff Breidich.
Get out of it, and then the president of baseball will make some decisions. You've never said to fire Jeff Breidich.
Agreed. So I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Firing Jeff Breidich does nothing if you don't have the right structure in place. You're just hiring another Jeff Breidich.
People take shots at the Rockies.
We got to take a break. Kevin's killing me.
All right.
Quick, less than 5 seconds. Orlando says he's heard too many things, so he's not sure. Baker Mayfield tweeted out he saw a UFO. James, your stance on UFOs. Troy was a little bit ambiguous. Your stance on UFOs.
It's amazing how we never saw a UFO before, like 1940, when we started flying around in our own things. I don't believe in UFOs.
Thank you, James Marilat. Mount Palumbus Speak is next.